is being deprived of future generations.
We are so glad that so many young people are getting involved in pro-life things.
We always understood that human life begins at conception.
Welcome to Voices for the Unborn, where every week at this time, we bring you the voice of life.
What this theology of the body has given us is nothing short of a revolution for the world.
That's where I see the hand of God in hindsight. When I look back, I see his fingerprints all over my life.
To me, it should just refuel us and get us going so we can get out there and protect those unborn children.
We just can never give up.
Welcome to Voices for the Unborn. I'm Bill Miller. Today our guest is going to be Sister Shawn Thomas, from principal of St. Ephraim School in Bensalem, with three of the students who went on March for Life. I guess it was their first trip this year. And so we brought them on the program today to let them tell us a little bit what the experience was like and some of the things that they remembered about down there. And then Sister can speak about the school, how they try to infuse into the students the sanctity of human life, that they should respect all human life and the sanctity of marriage. So as we begin the program, let us ask Sister Shawn to lead us in the opening prayer. In the Father, mm-hmm. and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Dear Lord Jesus, in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, before your birth, you filled the unborn Baptist with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Inspire us to see you in every unborn child. Grant us the perseverance to defend vulnerable human life from abortion, abandonment, experimentation, and all violations. Fill us with reverence for the moment of your incarnation in Nazareth, when the Word became flesh.
And now we'll have our students lead us in the petitions. And responsibly, Lord, hear our prayer.
For all bishops, priests, and deacons, that their preaching of the gospel might reflect not only the fidelity to the teachings of the church, but also acknowledge of the needs of the people they serve.
We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all our elected officials, that they might render to God all the things that are properly His, and that their own work might truly advance the dignity of each human person, born and unborn.
We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those discerning vocations to the priesthood and religious life, especially for seminarians throughout the Church, that their formation might be filled with the light of the Holy Spirit, and their studies with His wisdom.
We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who have received graces through the ministries of our holy priests, may our lives reflect the love that has been given to us.
We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For greater devotion to Our Lady, especially in the praying of the Rosary, that many parishes and families might be united through their common meditation on the great mysteries of our Catholic faith.
We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who have gone before us and now wear the crown of glory in the kingdom of God, may they continue to be a source of grace and inspiration to all of us.
We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And I want to thank Sister and the students for coming on the program today. And we have some relationships. Father Gaben, who is a good friend of Sister's, from when they were down at St. Dominic's. So if he's listening to the program, she says hello to you, Father.
Good morning, Father.
And the main purpose of the program was for you to share your experiences on your first trip to Washington for the March for Life. And I did lay out some things that you could talk about. Some of the people you saw, the students from all the different parts of the United States, and you didn't happen to be able to get up to the House and Senate buildings, but maybe next year when you go, since you're all seventh graders, I'm sure you're going next year, and bringing some of your classmates with you next year so that you can experience. Some schools have a bus just for the students. Once they all get the know that, hey, this is really great, I'm doing something good for my faith, and they really enjoy doing it. And you're evangelizing right in your own community of your own peers. So, Sister, why don't you give us a little information about yourself, though, how you ended up at St. Ephraim, what your, where you've been in the in your teaching and your profession as a nun.
Well, first of all, I'm a sister servant of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and unbelievably, even to my own ears, I'm in my 46th year. So in all these years, I've been blessed to be, for the most part, in and around the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. At St. Ephraim, I just began my fourth principalship, and in those years, in the last 24 years that I've been a principal, I've been able to attend the March for Life almost every year. Weather and maybe illness twice prevented me from doing that. My experience in the past was to bring eighth grade students because of their age and also their experience. This year at St. Ephraim, first of all, I didn't know the school community that well, you know, when starting to plan for the pro-life march. And I also was immediately aware as of September that we have a wonderful pro-life group in our own parish, of course. Bill is a very prominent member of that.
Actually, so, I'm not a member of the parish.
No, and you're very active at St. Ephraim. So it occurred to me, certainly through the inspiration of the Spirit, that if I took seventh graders, that perhaps we would be able to, you know, really push the pro-life group down into the elementary grades, because as we all know, children as early as they can speak have an opinion. So I decided, you know, therefore, to go to the seventh grade teachers. My system in the past has been, because of space and cost, just to take a small group of children. So I've asked the teachers every year during these years, my principalships, to have the students write an essay, why they stand for life, why they feel that they should be chosen to go on the March for Life, because it's not an easy trip. It's really like a pilgrimage.
It's a long day.
And so I was really, I've always been completely blown away by the quality and the depth of writings that I've received through the years. And I was not disappointed at St. Ephraim, even though they were a year younger in this case and really didn't have a lot of introduction, with the exception their religion teachers have done a marvelous job. This present year, Mrs. Marianne Bergman is their religion teacher, and they had already started to talk about, you know, life issues. So they certainly were coming from a good background. So I read all of the essays that had to be submitted with a time stamp. And so I actually invited all the students who carried through that project from the beginning to the end, did they want to accompany me on the trip, and they all said yes. So nine of us went to the March for Life this year. When you, Bill, asked me if I would be willing to come to the radio station with some students, these particular three students came to my mind. They impressed me. In school every day, I think that they live their faith in their actions as well as their words. Secondly, they all seem to be very articulate, so that will remain to be seen. And third, they were very willing as soon as I asked them, you know, sight unseen, would you be willing to go on a radio program? They said, sure. So I really liked it. So I would like each student just to let our listeners know who they are. And, you know, anything else that they would like us to know about them.
Okay, let's start with the young man and your name. And we know you're in seventh grade, but what is your name? And are you involved in other activities at the school, sports and things like that?
My name is Nick Lavolsi. I'm involved in soccer at St. Ephraim Parish.
My name is Delaney Lindberg. I'm 13 years old, and I go to St. Ephraim School. I'm in seventh grade. I've been there since I was in kindergarten. I participate in track and field, softball, and soccer. And I'm also in an after-school program called Forensics, which is basically speech and debate.
Oh, that's great. Good.
I'm Jacqueline Martello, and I'm 13 years old, and I've also been in St. Ephraim's my whole life, and I participate in track and field.
Good. Okay, you know, I like this, your last interest that you're involved in, it's kind of like debating,
yes.
I would guess.
Yes.
And that gives you the wherewithal to, when you get into a discussion with somebody who has the opposite point of view, you, first of all, you do your research, and then you're able to come on and speak the facts to them, and then they can't challenge it. You're speaking the truth. And we're speaking about the sanctity of life and the sanctity of marriage and the Catholic Church. We're speaking truth, so we can't go wrong as long as we're just doing what we've been taught in school, in our religion classes, and through the nuns and the teachers. So that's what's important. But anyway, I want everybody to know that they're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, Voices for the Unborn. This program is heard in Chester County, in Coachville, on 1420 AM, and here in the Doylestown, Philadelphia area on 1570. I haven't done the program for so long. This stuff used to just spill out of my mouth. But anyway, this program is heard in the Philadelphia area on 1570 AM. And normally we would be accepting calls for our guest, but today we want to concentrate mostly on the impressions the students had down at the March for Life and some of the things that they hope to do in the future from their experience down there. And Sister might also want to fill in with some of her comments, too. So I try to stay out of the way when we have a guest and let them give their story. So why don't we start off with your first impression on the March for Life.
My first impression was probably just seeing all those people there that support the cause of not having an abortion. It was really just truly amazing to see that so many people were there.
And from different areas of the country, too. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't know who you were walking next to, because the crowd would continue to mix and move, and you might be walking next to somebody from Detroit, and 10 minutes later, it'd be somebody from Maryland. Mm-hmm. So it's and they feel the same way, that there were so many people there. And that's what the future of our church, the future of the pro-life movement, rests with you, with the young people. I may not be here in another 4 or 5 years. I hope I will be, but getting over 80, that kind of shortens the length, you know. But we're depending on the young people. That's why we love to see them come on the March for Life. And thanks, Sister, for getting your feet wet, going down there and understanding, hey, this is something I'm doing for Christ, something I'm doing for the church, speaking about the defense of human life and trying to bring it to our representatives and our senators, that we want them to vote accordingly, that they should also have this feeling as Americans and as how this country was created, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the first of them being life. So you can't have liberty and the pursuit of happiness and a career if you don't have your life. And once you're in the womb of your mother, you're supposed to be protected by not only your mom and your parents, but by the government too. And that's a very important thing to remember. It's the government's role to protect all human life, all Americans. And those babies in the womb are Americans. So keep that in mind.
I think, you know, one of the chief reasons that I love taking students, you know, down to Washington, even though, as I, you know, told them ahead of time, it could be where my experience has been a very cold day, a very wet day, a very frozen day. It's exhilarating when you see now, especially in my circumstances, I'm getting older, that, as you just said, Bill, it's the youth who are now taking our places, and they're just multiplying. Every year, it's becoming more and more amazing to see the age of the students. So I know that, you know, my students felt the same way. So would one of the girls like to continue that?
I think the most I think the thing that stood out the most to me was really when we first got there. I mean, Sister had told us that there was going to be a lot of people there, and I knew that. But I don't think I really got a good idea of it until we got there, and it was just, I loved knowing that there were so many people there to protect this cause and help for this cause and speak for the people that don't yet have a voice, and it was really an honor to be there.
That's good. Did you remember how many people you saw on the steps? Did you just get to the steps of the Supreme Court when the march? And in the years past in the Supreme Court, the opposition, those who are defenders of abortion, they would be lined on the steps of the Supreme Court so that we pro-lifers couldn't get there. And there would be discussions back and forth. And we would just pray for them. And that would really upset them, because our argument was, we're praying for you. And that they didn't have to pray for us, because we had the truth with us. So, but let's have, I didn't write your names, Bob, but you can say your name.
Jackie.
Jackie.
I thought, I was also amazed that so many people were there, but I found it disappointing that the whole world wasn't there to support this cause. I think that everyone should be supporting the unborn babies.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you another insight into that. A couple of years ago, I took a young black man who was a friend of mine. He worked for me many years ago. And I invited him to come on the March for Life. And he was the only black person on the bus. And he was he's such an outgoing guy that he immediately made friends with everybody. And as we were walking along down Constitution Avenue, he said, "Bill, where's my people? Where's my people, the black people?" I said, "Well, you're here." I said, "But you're going to have to get others to come down." I said, "You have to go back and tell your friends and your relatives that your race, your black race, is being exterminated by abortion. It's like genocide on the black community." And I said that coming forward to now, we hear all these shootings and things were justifiable or unjustifiable. That's all for the courts to settle. But then there's demonstrations about Black Lives Matter. And I keep trying to tell the black people that I know, if Black Lives Matter, why aren't you standing out in front of the abortion mills praying and trying to help these young girls who are, most of them are black, going into the statistics show that of, I think the black population is like 13%, and 40% of all abortions are on black women. So you can see how that's so out of balance. So we have to pray, and we have to let our black friends to know that we're down there because we want to save black children. I go downtown, and just last week, on the third Saturday, I met a black woman from up in Cheltenham, a Catholic church up in Cheltenham. And I told her I'd like her to come on the program one day. And very, very well spoken. And I said to her, "You know, it's so good to see you here. It's very rare that we have some black women or black men at these prayer vigils." And I said, it's really you, your black race, who will turn this whole thing around. Because when you get out in the street and when you stand out in front of Planned Parenthood and these abortion mills and let the people know that your race is being exterminated and that we should have ways to help the women who are considering abortion, that's when this all will turn around. But it's also with the young people to have that same meeting in their minds with their friends who are black or whatever race they are, and that, about what your cause is, why you're defending life. And there's years ago when I first got into the movement, there used to be a video out. It was called The Silent Scream. It was put out by a doctor, and it was showed an abortion taking place. And the baby was jumping and pulling away and trying to get up in the womb, as they were trying to suck it out of the mother's womb. And it's such a horrible, barbaric thing that they do to these babies. And that really made a lot of people in my age group really see that this is really a horrible thing. People grew up in our age, sister and I, we didn't know there was no such thing. People never even think of having an abortion. And it did happen, and there were rare cases when it happened, but it wasn't legal. It was illegal. You could be arrested. The doctor who performed the abortion could be arrested. So that's why we keep trying to make the laws against abortion stricter. And that's why we urge our politicians, you know, that many of them who are Catholic, and sometimes they'll bend the other way because they want to make a deal on some other issue with one of the other politicians who is pro-abortion. And so they will just say, okay, they'll look the other way, or they'll withhold their vote. They'll answer for that to God. But we try to urge our politicians, especially Catholic politicians, you are in the forefront of this issue. You are the ones who can make this change. God gave you this power. He raised you this as a senator, as a representative, that you would execute your duties as a Catholic to make sure that the sanctity of human life is protected. So there's a lot of things that we urge our politicians to do. You're going to be all getting older and registering to vote. So many young people don't vote. And the last time they voted, they were impressed by President Obama because he was so outgoing. But he is the most pro-abortion president we have ever had. So the young people have to know, and as you say, you can debate with people. You have to speak up on that issue. Say, hey, I'd love him, and I'd vote for him if he was pro-life. I prioritize how my vote's going to go. And the first priority is he pro-life? And then it comes down to the other issues. But that should be the top issue for every Catholic. Is he pro-life? Does he believe in the sanctity of marriage? And then you come down from there. So I'm doing the lecturing here, but these are just things I'd wanted you to understand it while you're here, and we hope you can have more insight to some of the things I said to be leaders. And the CYO has five levels of CYO. Most everybody thinks it's sports, dances. I think the most important part of it is religious, the religious part of the CYO. And when I was in CYO at over my parish Assumption, many, many years ago, I started as having the Stations of the Cross on Good Friday night outside the school with big pictures of the Stations of the Cross. And we would have each of the students lead in the Stations of the Cross. Now, just about every parish has the students, the 8th grade, 7th and 8th grade students, do actually the Stations of the Cross in the church. We have a great program, our students at Assumption, that do the Stations of the Cross on Good Friday. Mm-hmm. So that's some of the things that you shouldn't be embarrassed to do. A lot of kids, I'm not going to do that. You're going to do that? No, that's for the girls. So the boys and the girls together should be the leaders. And, you know, it's very important that you not be afraid or ashamed to speak of your faith and lead in prayer. That's when I was in the service, that was my, I always was involved with my faith in my church. And we were in the service, guys know, men and even women today, they use those words all over the place. It's like just comes out automatically. But I was, and then when they recite the name of Christ, I said, that's my Lord and Savior. You're insulting him. You're insulting me. I said, so if you're going to be around me, don't use that. And they would respect that. Once they're told, they do respect that. And I would be in there. I would come walking into a group, and they'd all be, here's Bill Miller, watch your language. You know, that was the way it was. So, and they knew I was their friend, and I just didn't wouldn't tolerate that, the use of that language, especially taking the Lord's name in vain.
So, Bill, I think, you know, so many of the points you're making are the reason that people like you and I are thrilled to see, you know, young people more and more taking part, you know, in pro-life activities. The positive energy that's created is life-giving, and I think, too, hopefully, it's going to be, it sounds to me like our students at St. Ephraim, my students in the past at the other schools I've been privileged to serve at, it just is not going to be a thought, should I or should I not keep this baby? It's just going to be natural to them that life is sacred and that there is no choice to make. So hopefully our generation that saw such changes in policy, such changes in thinking, will be replaced by young people who really appreciate life and are going to make a change, whether it's verbal or nonverbal. So I think, you know, that's very important. I don't know if any of the three of you have any comments, even as Bill was saying, in his experiences that he's been able to speak out. It's not easy being a teenager today. I mean, I wouldn't know that. I just assume it from watching. How do you feel you do or can push yourself a little further to put your faith in action? You saw it in Washington, but that's once a year. Do you have any thoughts about, you know, daily life?
I think at our age, a lot of us are kind of pushed to be so-called cool, and it can be hard, and people will judge you, and a lot of people get judged on how they profess their faith, and I don't really think that's fair. I think if you believe in something, then that's okay, and if someone's going to judge you for that, and if you think these people are your friends, then they probably really aren't.
Right. You should...
Good point.
Yes. I know you wrote down some remarks. I don't know if you got a chance to make those remarks in your. Did you? Well, why don't you read what you had to say? Because
well, I think we were talking about right. I think the first thing that we reflected on getting ready for today, we started to address with their reactions. Was there anything else that, you know, came to your mind now, or that you didn't say about what you saw, what you heard, how you felt back on January 22nd?
I think anyone who's been to the march has probably known that they have some very visually harsh pictures and pictures that show what really happens in an abortion. And I think a lot of people really don't know that. And if they did, then they wouldn't even consider it. And it was emotional seeing that, and... But I think it really gave me a visual of what it is, and it just even more strengthened my opinions against abortions.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jackie, I'm glad you made that remark. Yeah. Because some parents say, oh, I don't want my kids to see them horrible pictures. But Father Pavone, he would go into the House of Representatives, and he would say, with a picture, a graphic picture, and he'd say to his representatives, is this what you mean by abortion? And they looked like, that's, you know, they had no idea what they were voting for. Mm-hmm. Some of them could care less about understanding anything about abortion. And then when you actually saw the photo of it, it kind of shocked them. And then they would say, oh, how dare he come in here with those pictures? But he brought them the truth. Be like Jesus going into the temple, or St. Paul, or the other apostles as they went out and, you know, in their assigned countries that they were going out to preach to. So it's important. Sister, you were going to ask.
No, I didn't know, because we were speaking about this earlier, if Jackie wanted to add on to what Delaney was saying.
The banners, pamphlets, and pictures, like, physically showed what would happen when someone got an abortion. And I think if everyone tried and went to March for Life, they would see what happens, and they would not get an abortion.
Because I was talking with the students, you know, earlier today, that it's still my experience that people going to the abortion clinic literally do not either want to know or they don't want to know what's happening there, so they don't ask questions. So even people witnessing you know, just by praying or standing there makes them stop and think, why would anybody be doing this? For example, this past Good Friday was a rainy morning, and I was part of a group of 50 or 60 people standing in the rain, as Bill has already mentioned, for a different reason, praying the Stations of the Cross. So everybody going up and down Comley Road in Northeast Philadelphia, at least it made them notice, made them stop and think. And I think there are many ways that people can get a message out, and it doesn't have to be verbal. I think that's the biggest thing. I know myself as an educator, something I've heard myself started saying the last couple of years, challenging young people, do you know about Jesus or do you know Jesus? And I think that makes all the difference. But to know Jesus is to live Jesus, to think Jesus, to act like Jesus. And you need to do that in context. Even the Lord, you know, lived in with a group of people. So I think the more experiences that young people have in and among themselves could only fuel their desire and their passion to get the truth of the gospel, you know, out, you know, in front of everybody. And obviously these students do not know Pope John Paul II. They know about him, which is very important. They're living through the papacy, you know, of Pope Francis. And so I think the leaders of our church definitely, you know, are making all of us stop and think, what are the truths of our faith? But again, it's in the grassroots. It's the youth of our church that can, and I believe, I know you do, you believe, Bill, will make a difference, but they need to be educated. And that's why the March for Life is very important. And these students are part of a group we're going to start talking. We've started to talk now. Who, how will go to the march next year? And yeah. And what are we going to do between this March 22nd and next March 22nd so it's not just a once-a-year event? I don't believe... It's been my experience that the students I've taken in the last 20-some years, it definitely is not a once-a-year event. It changes their thinking. I always believe that in high school, they're getting ready, you know, for high school. They only have, you know, one more year in front of them in elementary school. Please God, they'll never be in a situation where they would consider an abortion. But at lunch, at the lunch table, on the soccer field, you know, just hanging out with the guys, even in the college fraternities, hearing conversation, they're going to have an opinion, as you were saying, ahead of time. They have a conviction. They, you know, the Spirit has convicted them ahead of time. So that, and they may never know that the comment that you make to a peer could actually make them, again, stop and think. Because I think if people stopped and thought, or stopped and saw, or stopped and looked, you know, as the girls were saying, they could not take a human life so barbarically. They just could not do it. So I know that the future of our church is going to be in very good hands if the students that I've met are representative of that.
Okay, a reminder, listeners, that you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, Voices for the Unborn. We come to you on 1420 a.m. in the Coatesville area and 1570 here in the Doylestown, Philadelphia area. I did want to build on what Sister was saying about having something to show, and I just handed out to all to the students and to Sister something that I was given when I was up in Harrisburg. We were going around to visit our congressmen and senators up there because there's a couple of big issues before the Senate and the House. We don't like to speak politics on the station because there's situations where you have a 501c3 and the government is listening and they say, hey, well, you can't do that, and next thing you know, your station is off the air. But this is particular. This is, you know, we all, it's not politics, but we all hear about Planned Parenthood and about how they are affecting the children of our of this society. And the people that we vote for, and doesn't matter what party they are, but we send them to Congress and to the House of Representatives and to the State Senate. They vote on all these issues. And you can see on this, it says $1 million was pledged to a recent candidate for his political efforts. So that's And this, that would become, that pledge was made by Planned Parenthood. So they're paying to get these people into office who will carry out their agenda. Taxpayers pay for it. So it's the taxpayers had put in $7 million given annually by the government to the largest abortion provider in the state. Now that's just here in the state of Pennsylvania, but think of all the rest of the states across the country. And then $35.8 million of earned revenue, money that your parents earned, and it's taxed, goes to Planned Parenthood facilities. So on the other side of this paper, it just shows you Planned Parenthood in Pennsylvania, the business of abortion and power politics. They have 33 facilities in Pennsylvania, all across the state. 11 of them perform surgical abortions, and the rest of them all make referrals to those 11. So we have one in Planned, we have one in Bensalem, right there on Galloway Road. They don't do abortions, but they will refer them to the woman's to abortuary where they do abortions. Planned Parenthood never used to do abortions in Pennsylvania, in Bucks County. And they, in 2000, the year 2000, they started doing abortions because of the money that it brings into them. 8 of the 10 of the largest abortion facilities in Pennsylvania are run by Planned Parenthood. 8 of the 10. So that's their business. It's a business for them. Killing babies is their business. Now, we talked about the ultrasounds. They're supposed to have the woman, the young woman who is considering an abortion, do have an ultrasound of the baby and then show it to them. Many women that we speak with, and people like Jules Green and when they talk about when they were involved with them, they didn't show them the ultrasound. They said, "Oh, you don't want to see this." And then they would just move them down the line into the abortion. Oh, I have a bad shoulder, it's killing me. 48 abortions every day are performed by Planned Parenthood. So that's in Pennsylvania. 336 more abortions have been performed in 2013 than in the previous year. This is statistics from 2013. So these are all statistics that anybody talks to you about Planned Parenthood, they get their money. It's a business for them. Contraception is a business for them. When they give contraceptives to young students and young girls, they know now that they're hooked on sexual appetite, and eventually those contraceptives fail. Next thing you know, they're back there to get an abortion. So it's like I always used to tell people, it's like a farmer planting seed, and he's noticed the crop is going to grow, and that's what they do. They try to flood the students with contraception and this mentality of safe sex. Sex is not safe. Sex is supposed to be reserved for the marriage, only in marriage, between a man and his wife. And that is what's taken our society downhill, because there's no respect for the sex that God created to be for man and woman to procreate a child in the image and likeness of God is now being used as a fun thing. It's supposed to be enjoyment that, you know, and it's not. Everybody suffers in the end. When there's an abortion, I've had so many people on, women who've had abortions, parents whose children had abortions. When that baby is killed, it's like throwing a stone into a pond. You ever see how the ripples of the stone? And that affects the parents, the grandparents, the cousins, the sisters. Everybody feels it. My sister had an abortion, and she didn't come to me, and I could have helped her. You know, we could have put the baby up for adoption. So many people want to adopt babies, and but they're influenced by the people who run the abortion mill. Said, "Oh, this child's only going to stunt your life. You're going to be responsible for this baby. You won't be able to go to college. You won't be able to get married because somebody don't want to marry somebody who already has a baby out of wedlock. So the best way to protect yourself in that is to protect the virginity, your virginity. My wife always gets upset when I tell people that we were 25 years old when we got married. I turned 25 a month later. My wife was already 25. We were virgins. I mean, we never had sex with anybody. We were virgins. And like, it says, how could you be that way? That long without, I have four children. Nobody had to teach me what sex was about. And I know that I've never had sex with any other woman but my wife. And that's what the greatest gift that a man and a woman can give to their spouse on their wedding night is their virginity. Nobody can ever give them that again. You never give your virginity to any other person once you give it to somebody else. And the same way with a man. Your virginity, you have sex with some woman, you can't give that to your wife. And that should be a really holy and special event on your wedding night, that you're giving your virginity to each other. So that's just another little... your parents are going to say, doesn't that guy ever shut up? But it's things that you all should know, and you should be... You know, even children can come home from school when they have a teacher like Sister and teachers that are teaching you about the sanctity of life. And the parents grew up in an era where maybe this wasn't all taught to them. Maybe it was taught that, hey, this is a choice. It's a woman's choice. And that, you know, if she wants to have an abortion, if she wants to have sex, it's her body. Well, all this ends up in abortion. Like, people will say, look, it's my body. I can do whatever I want with it. But we tell them that there's two bodies. There's the body of your baby. And that baby has a right to life. And you don't have the right to have that baby put to death. So that's the issue is here. It's two people when they go in. We used to say two people go into the abortion mill. One comes out. One is dead. We call it one dead and one wounded. The wounded one is the woman. When she comes out, now she's had the birth. She'll never see her baby. She regrets what she did immediately. It might not happen like that week, that month. Sometimes it takes years before that woman realizes, my baby. I should have had my baby. I could have done it. You know, I didn't have to have the baby aborted. And so it's why we have so many other organizations that are in the Philadelphia area. Rachel's Vineyard, which is an organization that women who have had abortion, 20 years later, they come to Rachel's Vineyard. They say, my parents forgive me. My husband forgave me. He didn't know in the beginning, but I could never forgive myself. And so Rachel's Vineyard, they bring the woman in and say, you have to forgive yourself if you're sorry, because God forgives you. You made that mistake, and you can't reject God's mercy. He forgives you. So you have to forgive yourself and move on with your life. And so that's why we have these organizations like Rachel's Vineyard. So many times we've had people on the program that spoke about having no abortions, and that they then eventually got married, and they had to tell a husband about the abortion. And it was very hard for them to do. Sometimes they held it in for years and years. And finally they broke down and told the husband. And he, being a good husband, Big Kathleen, said, hey, you know, maybe I did things in my life that I never told you about, too. Let's go on from here. Let's, you know, put our faith in Christ and live our lives as good Catholic people. So once again, around the round table. This is the pro-life roundtable for the St. Ephraim. How about in your families? Do they speak much about abortion, the sanctity of life, about marriage? You know, you're 13 years old now. Things you should be learning about 2 or 3 more years, you're going to be at the point where some people run away and get married when they're 15 years old. And your parents should be, you know, I'm not saying what your parents should be doing, but my children, they always knew how I felt. They know that there's many families that cousins, brothers and sisters, their spouses have had abortions. And in my family, my children know, I said that somebody told me I knew somebody that they were, is Liz, this lady Liz, she's has an organization that takes care of the young mothers that need help, you know. So
I think, you know, the point that you're just making, I think, you know, as students, and I think it's important that we've now reached down to the elementary grades. You know, there's so many organizations, so many people that when, you know, a boy, you know, or a girl, you know, say that they don't have any choice, that you can say something back. I think that's what Bill was just asking. I mean, do any of you, you know, have any thoughts? Did that bring anything to mind? Like if, you know, you were to, you know, be involved with somebody who was thinking about the inconvenience of getting pregnant because they do have life plans or they run track, etc. Do you feel more confident, you know, or is that part of your vision for the future to grow more confident that you'd be a good spokesperson? Anybody?
Okay. All right, we had a caller just came in with a question for Sister Sean. What advice would you have for parents when teaching about abortion, like in a parent-teacher's meeting or...
Well, obviously, the only school structure I know is Catholic education. So I have dedicated my life to Catholic education, and I think our Catholic social principles breed thinking, acting, talking like Jesus Christ, as I said a few minutes ago. So I think that it's incumbent on adults to expose children age appropriate to facts, information, marches. I think it's very important that we not just talk about issues, that we bring it into the marketplace, that we allow children to form their own opinions about things. For example, I don't know about my students, but the one school that stood out to me in January, that I don't remember exactly where they were from, but I know they were from the Midwest, the entire high school went to Washington, D.C. Do you remember that when we were on the mall? We were standing listening to all the talks. Delaney?
I think they all went because I know they had an essay contest. I think they were all from the high school that the winner was from.
Well, the winner was from. And they had to raise money. So in other words, in that school, obviously, those teachers are doing a great job because they have passed the torch. And I think that's, you know, that's our job. And yet, my experience has been, and I guess that's why, you know, I don't feel my age. the students teach me as much as I teach them. So I think you introduce a topic like you did today. You know, you've given us a lot of information. Obviously, you know, we don't have the time to sit here and talk about it, but I can't imagine that any of the three of you are going to go home and just forget about today. You know, that something that Bill said will come back to you, you know, or you'll build upon it because you're all very, you know, thoughtful thinkers. You know, Jackie, you were making some comments about, you know, standing there, you know, on the hill. Did you want to add something there?
Yes. I think after being at the March for Life and seeing what happens, if I was ever in a situation, I would never get an abortion because I've seen what happens that most people that get abortions don't before they do. And I thought it was amazing how many people were there supporting the cause. And I don't think any of them will get an abortion because they have seen what happens. Mm-hmm.
And as I warned you ahead of time, you know, you don't hear the number we saw reported in the national media. So, again, I think it's so important that people are there and then talk about it, you know, that they just don't go this January, do their thing all through the year, and then next January go back again. It's not a day event, right? It's a way of life. It's a way of thinking. And hopefully, although you're only on the planet for 13 years, you know, you have the wisdom and, you know, beginning to grow the experience of people that maybe they've lived 70, 80 years and, you know, have never experienced firsthand how many people feel passionately about life from the moment of conception all the way through to natural death. Because you're living in the 21st century. Bill and I have lived most of our lives in the 20th century. And so all of these topics, you heard Bill today reference same-sex marriage, you heard Bill talk about premarital sex, these are the realities that, you know, that you live with every day and people take for granted. It's going to take people like you to say, wait a minute, I, Delaney, I, Jackie, I, Nick, wait a minute, I don't think that way. It's going to take courage, as Bill said. You know, and we follow a crucified Christ. We follow someone who was persecuted, who was mocked, you know, who was made fun of. And so the more you know him, the more you know Jesus, the more courage you're going to have, you know, to stand up for life. So I'm very thrilled that you wanted to go in March. I'm very thrilled that you were willing to come today. Anybody have any closing thoughts that they want to add before we stop?
Well, I'm going to give a closing thought. This program will be heard again today at 4 p.m., and it will be heard on Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. So if some of your family, your classmates didn't hear it, they're in class, and we'll also will be giving students a CD that they can have it to share with their families. And I would say the other thing is Catholic reading material in the home. I don't know if you have Catholic publications that come into the house. This is one called The Catalyst. This is put out by a man who's defending the church, and it's called the Journal of the Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights. And the person who heads it up is a person named Bill Donahoe. Any attack on the church, this man immediately files a lawsuit, goes before Congress, goes before state legislatures, and makes the case, you know, where they're wrong and that they can't do this. So this is a great publication that I get. And there's all kind of other publications that just bring, like in the missions, PIME, P-I-M-E, is a magazine that I get. It tells about all the missions in Southeast Asia and how the people in those countries are persecuted for being Catholic. These missionaries still go into them countries. They have to be secretive. They have to flee when the people fled to avoid, you know, Boko Haram is up in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. We have in our parish nuns from Tanzania, which is right on the border of Nigeria. In our Knights of Columbus organization, we have one of our members is from Nigeria, him and his wife, and their children were born here. But he said that the Muslims live together with the Catholics there, but except for the radical Muslims who want to make you become a Muslim or they'll kill you. So it's they're radical in that form of the Muslim religion. So it's knowing what your faith teaches, knowing what the other religions are teaching, and then read publications that a lot of times you'll see them in the back of the church in the book racks. You have to read that information to, it's like putting food into your soul, so you'll be able to speak clearly about these issues. So we've got about 4 minutes. You want to say hi, Mom and Dad?
Hi, Mom.
Oh, got
well, I would just
three
like
minutes.
To, I would just like to say it's really a great challenge to be a Catholic in the 21st century, but it's also a great privilege to be a Catholic in the 21st century because we have been chosen by God to be his representatives on earth. And there's, I always say to the students when needed, there is absolutely nothing that we can say or do that the Lord will not understand and forgive if we but acknowledge it. So the little bit that you think that you can do, even this year, you know, in these remaining weeks of seventh grade, that's what God expects of you. So, you know, never take for granted that, you know, one word, you know, is not enough. It's the beginning, as Bill said earlier in the program, you're planting seeds, that you're here today. When you go back, your classmates are going to ask you, you know, why did you go? What did you do? And next year when we advertise for the Pro-Life March, I would think that I'm going to be flooded with people who want to go. And even kids that I've found in the past who went just to get out of school, which was not your motivation, they come back changed. But it's, I can't stress enough how important it is. It's not a one-day-a-year event. It's a way of life. It's a way of thinking. So I want to thank Spirit Radio for hosting us, and I want to thank Bill for being such a credible witness out there for so many years and as passionate today as you were when you were young. And I also want to thank my students.
Well, Holy Spirit Radio is one thing I'd have to say is they get the pro-life marriage and the Catholic message out all over the area. And you, each year they'll have a call-in fundraiser, ask people to what you can donate to help them, because it's not a company. This is just two people who run this station and provide all the airtime for us. So I want to thank you, the students, for coming on, and I hope I'm going to make it to the March for Life next year.
We will see you there,
and
Bill.
I wanted to say, the young lady that I was speaking to outside of church, her dad's a great friend of mine. He's in St. Mary's Hospital with prostate operation. He's in bad shape because he developed an infection. His name is Lee DeSoblin. That's just her maiden name. So I'm listening now for the music will start playing. I'll say, shut up, Miller.
we'll pray for everyone, Catholic, not Catholic, all people of goodwill, that we will together form the kingdom of God on earth.
Yes.
So,
and hopefully we'll be getting...
I was just going to ask you to give our address in case anybody
one
might
time.
Want
to... One more time. Holy Spirit Radio, 1420 a.m. in Coachville and 1570 a.m. in Philadelphia, Doylestown area. Thank you for listening, and God bless you. I'll talk to you again.